Keep that in.
Welcome to welcome to Shuffling Deadcast, the ShufflingDead.com podcast. This is episode 40. I'm your host, Noobs, editor-in-chief of ShufflingDead.com, and joining me as always is co-host, Sulcy. Hi, Sulcy.
Hello.
How's it going today?
It's alright.
Sulcy, you and I need to have an important conversation.
Uh-oh.
First of all, I want to apologize we missed last week. So we're a week behind on the podcast.
I take partial responsibility for this.
Or
maybe all responsibility.
Sulcy was a little worn out, I think, last Sunday. We had to miss an episode.
Plus it was Halloween weekend.
That's right. Yeah. I hope people can understand us for that. So that means this week we got 2 weeks to talk about.
Right.
2 weeks worth of stuff. We're going to kind of take a hybrid.
Yeah.
Find the best stories.
Yeah, whatever's good.
Whatever we feel like.
But we have other important news, too.
Much more important, in fact, than that. We're going to change up the format of Shuffling Deadcast here. This week's the same as ever, just talking about the news and stuff we did on the site. But going forward, we're going to switch it up. Brace yourselves. It's going to be about once a month we're going to do the show. Sulcy and I are just finding that we're so busy. You know, we're working, we're going to school. I'm doing everything else on the site, which is a ton of work. So we don't have much time for this. So we're going to take it down to about once a month.
Which I think will also help us really filter out some of the stuff that really makes it worth listening to. Because we've had some comments about kind of how random our show is.
Right.
So maybe that will sort of just let us skim off the best articles. The things we really care about talking about.
And I think we're going to change up the format as well, where maybe we'll kind of go more in-depth about certain topics and not just kind of...
Everything.
We won't just grab, a certain number of updates off the site. I think we'll maybe kind of pick topics to have more discussions about. We're going to try to have at least three people on the show all the time.
Right, we can schedule guests.
We're going to have more guests. So it's going to be... We're going to do fewer episodes, but they're going to be kind of more effort put into them, hopefully higher quality.
More energy.
And, that's right. We're going to do it when we feel like it. There's not really a set date. I think it's about once a month.
Right.
So give or take a week either way as we go. And, after episode 41, you'll see what it's like, I guess. Because even you and I right now, we don't know what it's going
to
be like.
So make sure you all subscribe to iTunes so that if you don't check the site regularly, you'll still get our update when it finally comes out.
That's right.
It's going to be a couple weeks.
At least.
So let's move into feedback.
Go ahead, Sulcy.
All right. So I got some pretty good feedback. I'll start with our YouTube roundup, just because there's one really good comment.
Okay.
This one is from your 39 Metal SNES game, Definitive 50. Number 39.
Yes.
Metal Warriors. Two Horn Dogs says... Nice to see someone else knows about this game. I was lucky enough to rent it from my local movie store when I was little. Do you remember doing that?
Oh, yeah.
They carried a lot of those more unknown but great games like this.
Yeah.
So that's a really nice comment,
I think. That's awesome.
Because part of the reason that, against the pressure from the crowd, you stuck to 50.
Yes.
Was so that you could get some unknown titles out there.
That's exactly right. And you know what? I was just like this guy. Weskimo and I would rent... I'm sure this game specifically and lots of other ones that ended up on the list. It's just, back when we were kids, and truth be told, rentals were a lot cheaper when I was a kid than they are now. I mean,
that is true in proportion to, like...
And I'm not just because of inflation or something, but here's the deal...
Because you're trying to save Blockbuster's ass.
Here's the deal that I used to get as a kid on Super Nintendo games. Three games for, I think it was 3 days for $6.
Well, back then?
Yeah.
Oh, that's expensive.
No.
It's always been a ripoff.
Three games, though.
Yeah.
And then as the years went on, then it was like one game for that amount.
Yeah, that's
true. But
now
it's one game for twice that amount.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sick.
Even, like, movies, like, if you can watch, like, bestsellers that come out right away. Recent movies, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. They're expensive for one night.
Yeah, they are. I think you get decent deals when you go for old movies and you get, like, three at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an okay price.
But then they're also old movies.
Well, yeah. Anyways, go
ahead. Okay, so I'm pretty sure this is another comment. This one's right off the site from Video Game Character Analysis Mails.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure we must have read this one as soon as we got it. This one was back in May 3rd. Okay. And Reaper says, "You're a moron. You could at least put a half-ass effort to learn something if you're going to write about it. You could have at least watched a playthrough or something, or some cutscenes on YouTube instead of just writing a report on the first picture you find, you lazy ass." I paraphrased a little bit there.
So, yeah, I mean, Reaper kind of describes the article for us. This is setting us up for the comment ahead.
Do you want to sort of introduce what your article was about?
Yeah, so basically what I did was I took four prominent video game characters from recent years. It was like Marcus Fenix from Gears of War. We had the guy from, help me out, Assassin's Creed. The guy from God of War. We did Solid Snake. Those were the four, and I just took, you know, the first picture I saw, you know, kind of the most well-circulated image of the character that I could find.
Right.
And then just made fun of the way the guys looked, made fun of modern character design. I mean, it was so easy for me to find similarities between the characters, just without knowing anything about them to begin with. It's like, oh, they all have hats, because, hey, hairlines are tough to render, aww, right? I mean, you know that's why it's like that. They all have
I thought maybe they were self-conscious
faces,
about their hair.
They all have grizzled, angry looks. They have a bunch of shit strapped to their bodies that they don't need. They all look super masculine. It's a commentary on gender roles. I mean, there's so much you can draw, and which I did, and I feel proud about this article, that you could take just from the character designs. Yeah. That was the point.
Yeah, well, Sock Monkey just very recently commented.
Excuse me, Salsa, I have to interrupt. It's Sock Monkey.
Sock Monkey said, agreeing with Reaper, would it kill you to look up these guys you're writing this report on? Even a wiki search would have given you at least some idea of who these people are and that your description of them and who they are really are is... Wait, who they really are is an embarrassing show of lack of research with or without you telling them.
Is that it?
And then he goes on to describe, like, I'm serious, you guys, this is more than a paragraph. It's more than two paragraphs. It's pretty much a little essay there. We just read the intro, then he goes into the body, and then he's got a conclusion, and then a PPS.
Honestly, if we did a word count of his post compared to my original article, it's probably about the same word count.
Yeah, no, it's probably longer. Yeah. At one point, he's like, cut up some bitches. Ha, dude, he doesn't dice them, he screws with them. And he, like, keeps going, like, he's really worked out.
It goes on and on.
But basically, he's just describing the things that you may have missed or did not know, describing some of the backstories and...
Yeah, apparently he's doing my job for me because I was too lazy to do it. But,
Then he's like, see, it didn't take that long to find a little background on these images, nor was it that hard. P.S.S. I read your female analysis as well, and noticed there's barely any research done there either, even the alleged character you do know of, Samus. But since most of the article boil down to how tight their suits are and how finely sculpted and tight their asses look, I won't even bother correcting them.
But that was the point. I was doing an analysis of the way the characters are designed. It's a commentary on the discourse of the images, of the video game industry, it's a gender analysis. Jesus Christ. Okay, Salsi, is there anything else?
That's all the really good stuff.
Okay.
I mean, really, people, you should probably go read these full comments. And if you just go to our show notes, or just search males or females on the site, you'll be able to find them pretty quick.
I really had a fun time doing that right
now. Let us know what you guys think about how accurate or non-accurate Noobs' articles were, because it's some good discourse going on.
Going into news, I suppose.
I think, weren't we pretty Lord of the Rings heavy last time, having just watched that mini-marathon?
Yeah, you're right, Salsa.
This week it might be a little...
This is going to be a Lord of the Rings-themed podcast right here. So, this is old news, but... New Zealand has got filming of The Hobbit down. I mean, there was all that controversy. We didn't know if it was going to be there. Studio was threatening to move production to Europe.
Yeah.
The Prime Minister of New Zealand himself met with the studio guys. They're honestly, this is truth, They're changing labor laws in New Zealand to ensure production stays there.
Make sure the little people get treated fairly.
Well, honestly, they're changing the law to make things better for the corporations, so I don't really have hope that...
Aw, the poor little hobbits. Good picture of Gandalf.
Thank you, Salsi.
He looks pretty badass.
Yeah. Okay, so the other news was that, what's his name? Martin Freeman was cast as Bilbo. Salsi, do you know who that is?
I've seen his picture on your website.
Yes.
And I believe you told me he was in...
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that movie, but at the same time, I don't remember a single thing that happened in that movie.
Well, this guy's popped in up in other places. He had a small role in Love Actually.
I don't remember watching it, but I know I did.
He had a cameo in Hot Fuzz. He's pretty well known in English in England. I think he's, you know, more of an English actor, although now he's Bilbo, so everybody is gonna know who this guy is. Exactly. This guy looks so damn much like a hobbit. Like, would you agree with me, Salsi, that this guy is like perfect to play a hobbit?
From the picture you showed me, he looks like an average middle-aged kind of guy. I guess that could be
a hobbit. He's kind of got the pudgy, dorky face, though. I mean, he looks like a hobbit. And he looks like he can grow into, what's his name? The guy who played Bilbo in the original Lord of the Rings movie. So, I mean, that's a plus as well. Anyways, I did a huge write-up, kind of going back to our rewatching of the movie, right. Salsi. I just kind of reflected on what it was like going back to the films, watching them again now. It's 9 years since the first one came out.
Let's do a really quick wrap-up of your thoughts on each movie. Best part of Fellowship of the Ring?
It's just the way the whole movie is paced. It starts out slow, and it slowly layers on more action, more excitement.
Worst part of Fellowship?
Honestly, it's just Peter Jackson sometimes. No.
Oh.
Peter Jackson sometimes, he's a little goofy with his camera work a little bit. But honestly, it's my favorite of the trilogy, and it's a spectacular film.
Okay, favorite part of Two Towers?
It is the action. It is the awesome battle for Helm's Deep.
And your worst part of Two Towers?
It's just, there's so many cheesy lines and stuff. Like, the writing just kind of lost me a little bit in that.
Aww. Best part of Return of the King?
It's the whole thing. It's not a moment. It's just how well...
It's an experience.
How well handled Tolkien's universe is. How... I mean, we all know that they cut the end of the book out, which I think made total sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how well Jackson handled the whole Tolkien universe.
Worst part?
Honestly, that battle... what's the big battle? Battle of the Pelennor Fields?
Yeah.
To me, it was a little emotionless. It was not intense the way Helm's Deep was. The dead army just goes in there and kicks ass.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
And it's just like, oh, it's a huge battle. It's just, it's done.
It's rolled over.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about The Hobbit now.
Well, it's really just what we were saying. Great casting, like I said. I'm excited it's back in New Zealand. As I've said on the show before, I'm a little disappointed Guillermo del Toro won't be directing. It is Peter Jackson. But, of course, I really like the original trilogy, and I'm assuming it's going to keep a similar thematic, similarly themed, same tone as he did with the original trilogy, which we should point out, the Hobbit book, the tone is 100% different than the Lord of the Rings, because The Hobbit is a children's novel.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm assuming he's going to keep it the same tone as the other movies, so I kind of like that. I like that there's... in essence, two more Lord of the Rings movies coming out. And the original trilogy, I mean, that defined the 2000s for me in so many ways. Those were the movies
for me. Okay, so now we're getting you ranty.
Yeah.
Let's have some real fun. Here's the hard questions.
Okay.
Release date for The Hobbit.
I'm predicting winter of 2012. The other one...
The first one?
Yes, that's right.
And second one?
Winter of 2013. They are filming them side by side, just like they did the original trilogy. It's going to take some time still. I mean, Del Toro and Jackson did a lot of work in the last couple of years, but still going to take a while. And, well, That's my guess. What's your guess, Sals?
I have no idea. 2015 for one. 2018 for two.
But they can't wait too long or else Gandalf will die. By the way, I'm very excited to tell you that everyone is expecting, what's-his-name, to come back to play Gandalf. I think he said it, but it's not official. Oh, okay. Like, it's not, there's he no hasn't contract signed on. Yet. Yeah.
Well, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Peter Jackson, make it so.
Make it so. So you're excited, too, I bet.
I am excited.
You were a fan of those other ones.
You doing a little autoerotic asphyxiation there?
That's right, folks. I am tying the strings of my hoodie around my neck right now.
The Hobbit, isn't it?
Episode 40 will, in fact, be our last one.
I'm taking over.
Salsi, do you have any final Lord of the Rings comments of your own? I mean, I talked quite a bit there.
I don't. I'm pretty excited to see it come out, but yeah. I think I hold a lot of your opinions.
Yeah.
I really liked it. It aged incredibly well.
But are you with me that having seen them like 20 times each?
I've only seen them twice each.
Are there certain parts that you think, oh, that's corny?
Well, the worst part, and I talked about this last part, was the no respect for dwarves.
Yeah, that's a big one for me.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next on the docket?
You're familiar with Zynga? Zynga? Zynga?
Well, I know of them.
Yeah, they're that famous Facebook company that makes Farmville, Mafia Wars, Vampire Wars. Pretty much all the iteration of Vampire Wars are Mafia Wars and Farmville in like 1,000 different genres. Markets.
Wow.
Yeah. But they're actually more valuable as a company than EA.
Electronic Arts, folks.
How does that make you feel?
Well, as much as I've loved to hate and make fun of EA over the years, it makes me sad, because in my opinion, as much as I dislike EA's, like, fucking Madden every year,
they're
a reasonably respectable game company.
Well, they're $5.22 billion.
Yeah, they've come down.
Zynga is $5.1 billion. And I know you were just going to say Activision.
Yeah.
13.9. Ugh. It takes the cake.
What is the market cap of Nintendo, Salsi?
My numbers tell me.
$34 billion.
But I mean,
suck it.
Yeah,
suck it.
Trumping Zynga isn't that much of an accomplishment.
Nintendo could buy Zynga, EA, fucking Activision.
Would you respect Nintendo if they did?
Do it, man.
They should buy Activision.
God, I would love them to do it just so Bobby Kotick could be fired.
Bobby Kotick would take over Nintendo.
Oh, fuck me.
USA.
I would lose my shit if that happened. So I'll see.
Yep.
You have a DS.
I do.
Do you have any interest in a PSP?
No.
What about a PSP 2?
No, I'd rather have an iPhone.
What about well, speaking of iPhone, what about a PS phone?
iPhone.
Okay, so the answer is no.
You're right.
Salsi, we have got...
I don't like Sony's commercials. Like, have you been watching them on TV? And there's, like, this 12-year-old, and he's like, PSP phone, or I don't know what it is, but... I find them not well-marketed.
Yeah,
it's like the early 90s.
I don't feel part of that market. Sony's got two kind of mascot guys that they put in their ads. Their PS3 guy is this older guy. He's supposed to be, like, a corporate guy.
Yeah.
And he just kind of makes fun of Nintendo. Like he comes in there, he's like a business dude, but he's selling their PS3.
Right.
And then the PSP, they've got this young kid.
Yeah.
I have to be careful with my words.
Am I supposed to know this kid? Because am I just out?
His name is Marcus, and he's honestly just a giant stereotype of a young black kid.
Oh my god, you said it.
I said it. He seriously is, and I mean, I feel a little bit awkward with those ads.
But even just, like, the 12-year-old being like, hey.
Yeah, he's all like...
Why does he have a phone? Doesn't his mom, like, limit his hours?
Let's slow down, Salsi. We haven't even gotten to the PS phone yet. We're just talking about regular PSP.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, then he's allowed to have it.
Am I right?
I just assume it's a phone when I watch it.
No. Well, let me get to that there, Salsi. We've got two big rumors on the future of the PSP. One is PSP 2. I feel pretty comfortable that this is real. Because a lot of devs are talking about how they got PSP 2 development kits and things. Supposedly, it's going to be solid state. It's going to look a lot like a PSP Go. Dual analogs. More powerful than a 360. Most importantly, as I already said, no UMDs. Download only. Here's the other PSP rumor. PSP phone, or, I don't know, PS phone, whatever. This seems pretty damn real because Engadget actually had pictures of the thing.
Right.
It's a Sony Ericsson-made Android phone that flips down, and you've got essentially the PSP Go controller in there as well. Supposedly, it's going to have its own special Sony store for downloadable games. And we don't know much about this one either. Honestly, I don't know if these are two different things, if they're the same things, if people are getting them mixed up. It seems insane to me that Sony would have essentially two different PSPs on the market at the same time. It seems insane to me, too. And honestly, PSP 2 is kind of a given to me, and the PSP, as poorly as it's done in North America, has done very well in Japan. I mean, surely Sony's going to do a PSP 2. But they are going to fucking blow so much money on, honestly, what I feel is a doomed-to-fail product in the PS phone. Like, it's just not going to work. Salsi?
I don't know. They're definitely going after big territory here with the Sony App Store and stuff.
Right.
I don't know. I've never been a fan of Sony Ericsson phone, so...
Don't really know.
Foo-foo.
I mean, if it's just a Sony Ericsson Android smartphone, yeah, fine, whatever. But it's like slapping the PlayStation brand on there. I feel like it hurts the brand.
I know.
And it's...
It depends.
Yeah. It's hard to say right
now,
of course.
You know what I've always felt in my heart of hearts?
Go ahead.
That the Samsung Galaxy S just naturally should run Super Mario Galaxy. What does the S stand for, if not Super?
I have no idea, Salsi.
Galaxy S.
Who makes that?
Samsung.
Well, I don't know if they're friends with Nintendo or not. We had a bunch of depressing gaming-related stories run on the site lately, didn't we, Salsi?
We did. Violent, nasty.
There were some kids in BC, British Columbia, here in Canada, who plotted the murder of a teenage girl using texting, MSN, and they tried to burn and hide the body. Just a sick story, Salsi. Apparently, this girl, I think she turned them both down at various points. And I don't know what the whole story is with these kids, but they had a bit of a history with this girl. They kidnapped her. She came over willingly, but then they tied her up. I think they raped her. They definitely molested her. They murdered her. They burned the body. Story's so depressing, Salsi.
Yeah.
But here's the kicker, is one of them, the one who organized this whole thing, confessed over WoW.
Wow.
He had another female friend. This is strange because they've been to court and he didn't show any remorse. People are saying these guys are sick. But apparently he felt the need to confess. And he did it over World of Warcraft.
That's crazy. Apparently, the funny thing about confessing over WoW is it's like notorious. If you're on the forums or something and you mention like suicide or anything, they'll like, if you're in the States, I think, they'll send people to your door. Like,
yeah, they watch that shit.
Yeah, they watch it. So, I mean...
I don't know how closely they watch in-game chat, though.
No, I doubt it's... Plus, I mean, it's one thing to be like, I murdered someone. And then it's another thing to, like, said that and actually murdered someone.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm assuming that WoW chat is gonna be like, oh, I killed such and such all the time. Because you're killing characters all the time.
Yeah. Noobs.
Yo.
I think you need to say a big thank you to Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert.
Okay.
For a shit ton of hits to your site.
I think at this point is actually the most popular story we've ever
read.
Honestly,
is over Christina Hendricks.
Way over.
Over the top 10 ways to fix up the new Zelda.
Even above Bobby Kotick's Shapely Human of the Week.
All the shit we say about Bobby Kotick.
You just call him Bobby Kotick. Are you calling Bobby
Kotick?
Kotex is a feminine hygiene product.
Actually, that is what I
use.
You
stick it up your snatch and you bleed all over.
I prefer to say it a different way. They have really nice packaging.
Oh, that's nice. Bobby has a shit-eating grin. Anyways.
I don't shit on my Kotex.
Oh, okay, good. Anyways. Feminine hygiene, folks. Okay. Rally to restore sanity and or fear. This was a huge event that Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert put on at the mall in Washington.
And they broadcasted it onto the interweb.
They certainly did. It was a 3-hour show. They had Warm Up from the Roots. They had a whole bunch of musical acts come in during the course of the show.
Didn't Mythbusters
came on. They were pretty bad. but they did have Kid Rock. Not that I like Kid Rock. They had Sheryl Crow. They had Ozzy
Osbourne. They sound like 40-year-old men.
Yeah. They had Ozzy Osbourne doing kind of a face-off with Yusuf. I'm trying to remember his... Cat Stevens. He goes by Yusuf now. They kind of did a square-off of songs about trains. That was pretty damn good. There were a lot of awkward bits. It was kind of boring for, honestly, the first 2 hours of the whole thing.
You actually watched it
all. I sat there and watched the whole thing at my computer.
That is sad.
But the last bit, they did a really funny debate between Stewart and Colbert. You know, Jon Stewart obviously competing on the side of sanity. Colbert doing his best fake Fox broadcaster spiel to try to maintain fear. And he would show all these insane, drummed up news stories from broadcasters, in particular Fox. And Stewart would be like, no, no, and then, you know, kind of stand up against them.
So he'd actually do the news stories.
Well, he would show clips. Yeah, he would do like a montage.
That sounds pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But in the end, Colbert was defeated. He was dragged off stage by that English guy.
Yeah.
And then...
Bilbo?
No.
He's too bad.
And then...
Gandalf?
No. The highlight... was right at the end. Stewart did his serious moment, and I really think I encourage people to go watch this or rewatch it now that we're whatever a couple weeks removed. And he did a serious bit talking about how ridiculously overblown the media is about just every single issue, how overwhelmed people are by hate and othering in American society and politics in particular. And then saying, you know what, but every single day we work together, we cooperate, and we get things done. It was pretty good. It was pretty damn good. And, help me out, Salsi.
His sweater is really nasty.
So
they were a success?
It was smart, but here's where they were. I would call it a success, but here's the one part where they fell through, in my opinion. It's not my opinion. Here's the thing. People
wrap it up here.
Are still talking about Glenn Beck's stupid rally.
Right.
This rally drew way more people.
Really?
Official estimates put it like nearly double. Like, it blew Glenn Beck's rally out of the water.
I thought it was smaller.
Way bigger. And here's the thing. Glenn Beck, that fucking just hate-mongering asshole, gets so much more coverage. People are still talking about his stupid goddamn rally. Jon Stewart was in the news for like a day, 2 days with this thing, and the media's forgotten it again.
Well, the media proper, not the interwebs.
Right, the media proper. That's who's important to change, because they're the ones making the bullshit up. I mean, I don't mean to make too much of a false equivalency. It's like 90% Fox is making the stupid bullshit up. It's 90% lying Republican, hyper-conservative assholes making this shit up.
Yeah,
and they just drive the entire political and news discourse of the United States. They drive the country to the right.
A lot tonight.
They fucking manipulate the entire political landscape by just pulling so hard to the right that it is impossible to get a reasonable or even liberal message across to anyone. That country is falling apart. I am not kidding you when I say this, Salsi.
I think it'll survive.
We are living in the downfall of the American Empire.
Okay.
It is done in our generation.
Is it?
We in Canada are lucky because we can, like...
Obama is the president.
Obama is fucking led by the nose by the Republicans. That man tries so hard to be such a goddamn pussy and gives in to them over and over again. Why will he not stand up for a single thing that Democrats or liberals or even himself stand for and fucking do something progressive?
Okay. Want to hear more about douchebags?
Go ahead.
George Takei.
Salsi, please just talk for a while. I gotta decompress.
George Takei put out a video on YouTube. Well, I think it was on YouTube. Maybe it was on the news. In which he calls out a Arkansas school board member. I think his name is Clint McKenzie. I don't know. George Takei says it a lot better than I do. Takei. Anyway, and he basically calls him a douchebag because this school board member was like, gay people should die. And George Takei had... Takei had a bit of a problem with it.
Do I need to start ranting against Salsi?
No, it's just, it's really funny, even if you're like, even if you're not supporting the gay movement.
Which, by the way, just hearing fuck yourself in the ass.
George say douchebag over and over again makes it a worthwhile watch. He's like, douchebag.
And if you are straight, listening to his voice might turn you gay. It's a pretty awesome voice.
Yeah.
Salsi, poor news here.
Poor news?
More news.
Sorry.
Chad Hurley, he's one of the co-founders of YouTube.
Yeah.
He's leaving as CEO. Google is bringing in a new guy, a guy who's...
Is he leaving or did he get fired?
He's leaving. I think he's going to go work on some fashion thing he wants to do. Ooh. But Google's bringing in somebody who's a pretty... He's one of their own. He's been with the company a long time. And this guy is known as like a hardcore ad dude.
Uh-oh. This guy... Maybe they'll sponsor my videos.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? And mine as well. This guy apparently... This guy's, I think, a bit of a tough dude when it comes to ads. And Google's kind of saying, we're hoping to make money on YouTube by now, which indicates that they're not, right? I mean, maybe they're breaking even or making a little bit. I don't know. But in any case, it certainly seems...
I think Google deserves to lose a little bit on YouTube, don't you?
I think even if they're breaking even, yeah. They so wholly own that part
like
of the
that
market.
That is such a huge power site right there.
Yeah. There's no reason for them to ever, like, chop YouTube off, right?
Yeah.
They're never going to spin
it's
it
like,
off.
It's what you build your company around, even if you're Google.
That's right, Salsi. But, obviously they want to make ad money on this thing. And you would think, maybe going forward, if they get more kind of corporate involvement going on, where they have, like, the House channel, and they run full episodes of House... And they put, like, a pre-roll ad in.
House.
Well, pick an example, right?
Pick a good example.
And they splice a couple ads into the thing. I mean, that to me is how you're going to make money with YouTube. Also, making...
Kind of like when you watch South Park. It's like, they have ads before.
Yeah.
They have ads after. The only problem with that is sometimes it bugs out and you get ad after ad.
Oh, really?
And the video won't load.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me.
I don't know. But I think that's a great example of how videos should be done on the internet. I think it's still much nicer to watch videos on your computer.
I'm watching an episode or something,
yeah,
and there's a 5-second thing, and it's a half-hour show, I'll sit through that 10-second commercial,
yeah,
reluctantly. But if it's someone else's video and it's a 5-second video, five-second clip, like ad, I won't watch it. I'll actually close the browser.
You mean like a random YouTube video?
Even if it's like one of the people I subscribe to, I'm just like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah, I'm with you, Salsi. I think proper commercial productions totally can have pre-rolls. Totally. The stuff you and I put up, I think having that little box that pops up with an ad is fine.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
enough.
It's and just those full
It's shocking ones. To me that they aren't making money with that. How are they not making money?
Because the ads
with
are all so retarded. Like, I've never seen one that's even remotely me being stupid and...
What, wanting to click?
Boredom clicking it.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, maybe they could work on running better ads in video. But, I don't know. Whatever. Hopefully it doesn't totally fuck up the site and all of a sudden we're all going to have pre-rolls. I don't know. Hopefully not.
I doubt
but,
it.
Miyamoto acting...
Wait, read the headline for me.
Okay. Nintendo to make 3D, 2D, 3D Mario games for 3DS.
My God.
So, Miyamoto at an investor's briefing was asked...
Like, come on, people.
What?
Listen to the podcast. Pretend you're, like, chatting here with noobs in a cafe, and he's telling you this, like, funny story. And you're, like, drinking your coffee and listening to him. Okay, go.
Me and my friend Miyamoto.
Yeah.
He was at an investor briefing.
Yeah.
And he was asked, what's the future of Mario on 3DS? Are you going to do new Super Mario Bros. Style 2D, or are you going to do gameplay style, like, Mario Galaxy 3D? So right now, the 3D we're talking about is the style of gameplay.
Right.
But, of course, both of those games use polygonal graphics, so in that sense, it's 3D.
Right.
Finally, it's on 3DS, so it will also be projected at you in 3D, like right. Avatar. So that's, how many kinds of 3D are we talking about? Three different kinds. We need different terms, people.
Okay, tell us the funny part that you joke around with your friends.
Oh, yeah. So Miyamoto explains that actually we're going to do both on 3DS, which, by the way, instant boner over here.
Mm, my goodness.
Iwata, his boss, president of Nintendo, is like, you went more in-depth than I'd been expecting. Questionable translation here. This is the first I've heard of this. And then Miyamoto goes, no good? Don't tell any game magazine people. It's a little joke.
Ha 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 ha. Okay.
And I LOL'd, Salsi.
Cafeteria moment over.
I laughed out loud.
Yeah.
About the antics of two middle-aged Japanese men.
Yeah, they're making those jokes for you.
I pretend that they're my friends and it makes me feel better about myself.
Yeah. Do you read that press release every night before bed?
Mm.
You're like, oh, good, I can sleep. They still like me.
Folks, we're done news. We're heading into everything else we did on the site. Salsi, anything you want to mention?
If you guys were ready for if you guys just heard a lecture in news.
Yes.
Get ready for another lecture in things of the week.
Okay.
First, we'll start out with the non-lectury one. Internet of the Week. Insane Guy of Doom, a.k.a. the red shirt guy.
Yeah. So you probably know this whole story, Salsi.
Actually, I don't.
Really?
No.
This is a WoW thing. There was BlizzCon, of course, and they had one of their Q&As. It was called Quests and Lore. I was meeting with like the writers who handled, I assume, both the books and the story.
Right. Game.
And this mega nerd stands up, and he is like, hey, what about this certain character, Wildhammer? Falstad Wildhammer. Where is he? In the books, you say he's going to be in such and such role, but he's nowhere to be found in the game. And he has this perfectly monotone voice. He is just the epitome of the nerd. He's a neckbeard. Anyways, this guy, the video, is caught fire on the internet. Became a bit of an interneter, thus his title, Interneter of the Week.
Right.
And then Blizzard actually gave him an NPC to stand beside Falstad Wildhammer, called Wildhammer Fact Checker, wearing a little red shirt.
Because that's what's so great about WoW. They have such a nice sense of humor.
Yes.
They're not afraid to evolutionize their MMOs as a real world would be evolutionized. Reality sinking in to the world.
What?
Of Warcraft.
Okay. What's next?
This one I think you should talk about. We've got two shameful humans to talk about this week.
Three, even.
Three? All right.
So this is a co-shameful human. So okay. That's why. This is more in what I was talking about earlier with those depressing gamer stories.
Right, with the WoW murder.
Holy balls, guys. We had this woman, what's her name? Oh, I get it. Alexandra V. Tobias.
That's a badass last name, by the way.
22-year-old mother, or former mother, I should say.
She's still a mother?
Her baby was interrupting.
Oh, wait, she's not a mother.
By crying, and she decided to fucking shake it to death.
Wait, while she was playing a game, or what?
While she was playing a game, the kid was interrupting. The game was Farmville.
Oh, Zynga.
Ugh.
I thought you were going to say Xbox or something.
Okay, here's the other one. It's not even worse. It's almost as bad. There's a Korean, what do you call them? StarCraft guild called Wera. And it's being disbanded. I think it already has been, because one of their members came out, spoke against the leader of the clan. He's an older fellow. Mr. Gundam Wera. That's his clan name. His internet name, apparently he was sexually abusing members of his clan, of his guild.
Right.
he's an older kind of father figure to these guys. Like, they all live in the house together, I think, train like motherfuckers all the time. And he would kind of get the guys alone. I mean, he's dealing with teenage boys. He's, like, getting them alone, trying to take advantage of them, molesting them. And they were afraid to speak out because they didn't want to get kicked off the team. Because, I mean, this is a major StarCraft team. Like,
right.
You make a living. You'd be a celebrity.
I'm sure Brentor is intimately familiar with these.
Yeah, I should ask him about this story.
Because he subscribes to whatever internet channel broadcasts all these Korean StarCraft games.
Whatever.
He pays money for it.
Whatever you want to do with your money and your free time, I'm not one to judge. I judge all the time on the site, but anyways. So those are utterly depressing stories. So
right. Well, we've got one even, I think, more depressing story here.
Okay, I'm curious.
You are intimately familiar with the RIAA, correct?
RIAA, yes.
Well, they've been stirring some more shit up.
Well, sort of. So, they actually stopped going after individuals back in 2008. They decided to start teaming up with ISPs and figuring out people who are breaking copyright and actually getting their service cut off.
Right.
So, I think it's a three strikes law or rule that they're trying to work with ISPs on with this.
Yeah, they must be like Californians.
And as far as I know, they haven't actually done anything with this. Like, no one's been suspended from the internet because of this yet. But honestly, it's kind of okay, right? Like, I mean,
no, I'd say that's pretty shitty.
Well, it's shitty of ISPs to give up people's personal information.
And it's shitty to have the thought of you being able to be banned from the internet. Although in the States, there are more internet providers than, say, in Canada.
Yeah.
So maybe you can just switch to the next one.
Well, that's exactly what you could do. And yeah, I'm not a fan of the practice at all, but in the realm...
It's better, I guess, than being sued for, like, $4 million right. And getting bankrupt for downloading 24 songs.
And that's what we're getting to. Left over from their days of suing individuals, the RIAA just concluded the third case against Jamie Thomas Rassett. This is a young single mother who was targeted for downloading 24 songs.
It's like two albums, people.
She's got great pro bono lawyers. She's got a judge who recognizes the insane maximum penalties for copyright violation are beyond the pale of reasonableness and keeps slashing the amount awarded by ignorant jurors to the RIAA from this woman, and they keep going back to court. This is, as I said, the end of the third one. Rassett's lawyers were asked afterwards if there's going to be more. They, in a joking fashion, indicated, yes, there are going to be more. Here's what she was awarded by this group of moron jurors in the most recent round. $1.5 million for 24 fucking songs on, I think, like, LimeWire. I think it was in 2006 she did this shit. What?
Yeah, that sucks.
Ugh. It boggles my mind.
Oh, sorry. I get comfy.
How unreasonable the laws are in this regard. Because, it's not like a... Help me out, Celsi, if you know anything about law.
Here's what I think.
Yes.
And this is my ignorant opinion here.
Okay.
24 songs, 2 albums.
Mm-hmm.
She stole about $40 if they're really good CDs.
Yep.
She shared it a couple times. Maybe she left it on a couple nights.
Right.
Maybe she suffered, like, this is just me making up numbers, like $100,000.
$100,000?
Damages total. That's estimate high.
Wow.
How does that add up to $1.5 million?
I don't know. I don't even know how you got to $100,000, to be honest.
Because she shared with enough people that it ended up $40 yeah. over and over again.
Yeah, that's the thing we don't know, is we don't know how much she shared these songs at all.
Right.
She could have shared it $1.5 million worth, but I
yeah,
seriously
but in another case I was looking at, like,
yeah.
the math just didn't add up there. To that guy who, like, got sued for $1 million or whatever and he went bankrupt right away.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. They never really get their money on these cases.
But the other thing about these cases is they're all people that have gone, like, less than 50 songs for sure.
Yeah.
Like, they have proof that they have, like, 30 songs or whatever, and they're right. all, like, $1 million
right.
lawsuits.
It's just sick. I don't understand what
Why
the
don't they
point
sue
is.
Someone that's got, like, they have proof of, like,
Yeah,
thousands of songs, and then stick a $1 million.
And it's one of these people who's actively working to share these.
Yeah.
Not just download them once and maybe download them to one other person, right?
No, it probably is more than that. I mean,
well, a couple people. I mean, whenever I didn't use those services in the past, I would immediately delete it.
But let's assume that she didn't really know what she was doing, so she left it on for a couple weeks or something.
Okay, yeah. It's still, yeah, a few downloads.
Still incredibly unreasonable.
Absolutely, Celsey. And just the fact that they keep going with this woman, and they won't just go, okay, we'll settle for a few $1,000s, leave us alone. Like, give me a break. Celsey, anything else you want to chat about this week?
I want to talk about videos you have been working on.
Okay.
What have you been doing for us?
Definitive 50 continues along. We did... You remember my hint 2 weeks ago was a game that involved the consumption of human flesh?
Yeah.
Surprise, it was Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Hmm.
And then the following week, we covered Sim Ant.
Oh, yeah, one of your favorites. A big passionate Ant fan. And I'm not being sarcastic.
I really do like that game. we're going to be a little late on episode 35 of that show. But here's my hint for that one. It is going to involve hang gliders.
And why are you going to be late for 35 there?
Because we're going to bump ahead a game review to get it out as soon as possible. It's going to be, I might as well just say, it's going to be GoldenEye. The new Wii game, GoldenEye.
You've been pretty excited to play this game.
I have indeed, but I don't want to spoil my impressions too much. People are going to have to watch the video.
Okay, playing hardball.
That's right. Oh, and we reviewed Sonic 4.
How was that? I'm sure you hated it.
It sucked, but it sucked less than the old Sonics. Apocalyptic Girl liked it, but I don't think she really shared my opinion. okay, what else, Celsey?
There's some people yelling outside.
Yeah, there's a little riot going on outside right now. Breaking news. Anything else?
I don't know. What else has been going on with you?
Why don't we just...
Any goodbyes or...
Nothing.
No?
Nothing, Celsey.
Okay.
Let's just finish up by, I mean, do you have any thoughts about the new format going forward?
No, I think our listeners will quietly conform.
Okay. Here's something we should have said at the start of the show. Is, with this new format, we would even doubly appreciate listener feedback, wouldn't we? Because we really want to get more conversational. So, how do they do that?
You email us at hosts@shufflingdead.com. That's H-O-S-T-S. At shufflingdead.com.
hosts@shufflingdead.com. That's exactly right. And we would really love it if you just send in, like, topics for us you'd like us to discuss, questions that we could get into, you know, dig into a little bit. That would be fun, right? And get involved in the show like that. We highly encourage you to send in your emails.
Right.
Other than that, like I said, you know what, folks? We'll see you in about a month. I hope you've enjoyed our 40th episode. This is kind of a bit of a landmark.
Kind of, yeah.
50's a big one. I mean, we'll have to do something really special then, right?
Yeah.
But, you know what? I feel like we had a pretty good show here, Celsey, so I guess we'll conclude things. If you would, my show notes. This has been Shuffling Deadcast, the ShufflingDead.com podcast. Remember, you can learn more about everything you've heard today by visiting ShufflingDead.com. Check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/ShufflingDead. Follow us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/shufflingdead. Become a fan today. We're up to 122. Finally, see our videos at youtube.com/marnax. That's M-A-R-N-A-X. And finally, as Celsey said, email us at hosts@shufflingdead.com. Folks, thanks for listening. See you in a month.
Also, shout out to Brian Sanderson and Robert Jordan for the last, I believe it's the last, Wheel of Time.
The final one
that
ever?
Was released. I don't know. He might have split the last book up into a couple parts. But anyway. Release party. Woo!
Is this, what, the 12th one?
It's like 14.
Oh, my God.
I hope it doesn't end. Okay, bye.
Bye.